Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lesson for this evening is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Thanks be to God. The text for our meditation this evening is the last verse of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. In the 16th chapter, he says this in verse 27. To God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ, when you're writing a letter to someone, possibly even an email, depending on how formal it is, the last line is sometimes one that you think about a little bit and put a little bit more thought in. Sometimes it is the line that you want to conclude with that will sort of summarize everything else in the letter. That couldn't be more true than what we see in this last verse in the book of Romans. St. Paul has gone on for 16 marvelous chapters, describing the Christian faith in tremendous detail. This was one of Luther's favorite books, through which the Holy Spirit enlightened him, and you might say opened his eyes to see the gospel. And St. Paul concludes this beautiful book of Romans with that line. I'm just going to read it again, very simple. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. To God alone wise be glory. There's an expression we often see placed at the end of manuscripts in the Christian church. It's a Latin expression, sola deo gloria. To God alone be the glory. And you could say that in those three Latin words, sola deo gloria, you can summarize the entire Reformation and the entire Christian faith. Sola Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. That's not our natural instinct, however. It's not our natural instinct to give God the glory. It's our natural instinct to take it on ourselves. Most police officers now in their squad cars, and sometimes even on their lapels of their uniforms, will have tiny cameras to record all of their interactions. And the primary reason for that is there are times when they are arresting somebody who is either inebriated or under an influence, and the drug has affected them so much that they can't understand their own condition. And hopefully later, if they ever need to bring this before a court of law, that videotape will convince them that they have no chance. It will show them the reality of their condition. You and I, because of the effects of sin on us, have a tendency to assume that by ourselves we have greater glory before God than we actually do. We have a tendency to think better of ourselves when it comes to a spiritual assessment of what we might have to offer God and who we are. And God must come along through His holy word, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and show us the truth and the reality of our condition, that there is no glory in man, not a single ounce of it. Just like the builders of the Tower of Babel, we like to build towers of glory to ourselves. And we can think of that likewise when it comes to God. Just think of what a great believer I am. Think what a great Christian I am. If there weren't more people out there in the world like me, just think what I can offer God. And this pride that is inside of man, this inability to properly assess our condition, our fallen state, is the reason why all of the other religions in the world, with the exception of biblical Christianity, all of the other religions in the world begin with the false premise that man has some innate goodness in him that he can offer God. It is also why even inside of Christendom, there are those who want to hold on to this concept that there certainly has to be something that I can offer God. Erasmus even argued with Luther at the time of the Reformation, why would God give us the commandments if there wasn't something good we could do that could make him happy? You have to give man a little bit of credit, don't you? And Luther wrote back, no. It is why believers today in Christ are still tempted with pride regarding their own spiritual lives as well, and to think that somehow there's something about us that makes us so good and pleasing to God. Last week we had the Reformation lectures on our campus. About 15 years ago or so, there was a gentleman here by the name of Dr. Oliver Olson. And I remember in the comments he said something that I wrote down real fast because I thought he said it so well. He said this: "The feeling is basic in man that we object to the notion that God is entirely in charge of our salvation." Human beings are constantly trying to attack the doctrine of grace because it lowers us as far as our own spiritual condition, and it shows that we have no glory in ourselves. It is the true nature of all reformations in the church to restore an accurate, true assessment, a true picture of the depravity of man, and in so doing, to also reveal to us that if we have any hope of going to heaven and joining that beautiful scene that was just described in the book of Revelation, if we have any hope of standing someday with all of the saints in heaven above, it has to be solo Deo Gloria. It has to be done by God alone. And thank God, that's what Paul has been writing about in this entire book, that he summarizes with these last words. Because of the work of God's own Son, all glory does go to God, and that means that we have certainty about our salvation. If even part of the glory was to be attributed to me or to you and something we did, that would inject nothing but uncertainty, wouldn't it, into our hopes of heaven. But thank God through Christ and his work, sola Deo Gloria, all of the glory for our salvation belongs entirely to him. Paul tells us, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Robert Preuss, who also spoke on our campus for Reformation lectures years ago, concluded his lecture one year with that phrase, sola Deo Gloria, and then he added, that little tiny phrase probably summarizes the Christian faith better than anything else. It's really true. Think of all the questions we can ask that can be answered biblically by that statement. Did God actually create me, or did I somehow get here by a chance explosion? Sola Deo Gloria. Is my gaining heaven dependent on Christ alone, or somehow on something I must do? Sola Deo Gloria. Is the faith that's in my heart that holds on to Christ as my Savior, is that something I did, or has God worked it in me? Sola Deo Gloria. Is baptism something that I do to show my love for God and that I'm going to follow Christ? Or is it God coming to me? Sola Deo Gloria. This book of Romans is such a beautiful summary of the Christian faith. And Paul concludes that letter with this beautiful concept, which is also the theme of the Reformation, and not just of the Lutheran Reformation, but the Reformation of the entire church. The church of believers in this world looks forward to joining that saintly choir in heaven someday and singing this very phrase to God in heaven. Listen to what the book of Revelation tells us that the saints will be singing. Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And so as beneficiaries, as heirs and recipients of the blessings of the Reformation, may our lives be a constant sola Deo Gloria. Amen.
My soul draws nigh thee, my Lord. love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.